It's good to see you all tonight. My wife and I are so glad to be here. We cannot thank you enough for the warm welcome you've given us when we first came here back in October. And it's been really wonderful to get to know you, and we appreciate your friendship and your fellowship. And we look forward to every service to be here. And I'm glad for the few minutes that I'm able to share with you tonight. Just briefly, I was born and raised on a farm, and had wonderful years there. And my wife was on a farm for some time, then sort of rural. And we actually met on a blind date, the only blind date I ever been on in my life. And she's got glasses since then. And I'm just lucky we got married before she got glasses. But my wife and I will be married 51 years come April. We have two sons. I pastored two churches in 23 years. And after that, I went on staff at Harvest Baptist Temple in Clyde, where the radio cards are back there. I did that in 2000. And in 2009, I retired from staff, but still there, still busy, still on the radio. Fact is, on Friday nights at 10 o'clock, if you have a computer, pick up a card, you hit the website there, tune in. You can hear me 10 o'clock Friday night from my bedroom, Maranatha Village, on the radio, around the world, catching all the listeners of what happened to me that week. And when I get back home, I'm on, as I said, 10 to midnight. Open your Bibles, if you would, with me, please, the Gospel of John, chapter number 17. The Gospel of John, chapter number 17. How many people have already been told Happy New Year? I guess everybody's been told that, and I'm sure multitude of times. Everybody is wishing everybody a Happy New Year. It's a wish. I wish you a Happy New Year. Happy New Year. I want to tell you tonight how you can have a Happy New Year. How you can know that you can have a Happy New Year. And if you're able to stand out and respect the Word of God, I've got one verse for you. And that is John chapter 17. And verse number 24. And of course, we find the Lord Jesus Christ here in chapter 17 praying for the disciples. And it's so exciting when you get to verse number 20, for he says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." And folks, that's us. We get excited about that. He's praying for us as well. But verse number 24 says, "Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me," that's us too, "be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." Heavenly Father, now, I thank you for the time that I have to stand behind this pulpit tonight. I pray, Heavenly Father, you might help me, Lord, as I do what I believe you laid on my heart to do. I pray it might be an encouragement and a help to every listener here tonight. And we sure thank you and praise you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated, please. The title of my message is simply, Happy New Year. If you want it to be a Happy New Year, my friends, it will be a Happy New Year. First of all, I got 5 points I just want to make. First of all, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, that's the very first thing that we want to establish. We see in Psalms 32:1, it says, "Blessed." By the way, blessed means happy. "Blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered." The fact that I'm saved and born again brings great joy to my life. I was saved in November of 1969. And I remember that day as if it was yesterday. two Sundays in a row, I said no. I was in that pew. And I said no. And I said no. And I said I wasn't going back to that church. It made me feel so uncomfortable. But I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit drew me. And I went back. And on that third Sunday, I gave up. And before the invitation even started, I had my mind made up. And I walked down that aisle. And I was 23 years old. And I looked that preacher right in the eye. I said to him, and I wish I'd have phrased it a little different. I looked at him and I said, "Boy, do I need Jesus." And I wish I hadn't said boy. But anyway, I received the Lord Jesus Christ. My wife received the Lord Jesus Christ just 2 or 3 days after that. And I'll tell you, the happiness and the joy that's been in our life because of being a child of the King, of knowing there's a place reserved in heaven for us. And my friends, the moment you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your sins are washed. I mean, all that stuff in the past is gone. It's forgiven. It's remitted. And oh, what a joy it is to know you're a Christian and be able to look forward to that day when you'll be able to see Him and be able to fall at His feet and be able to worship Him for all eternity, because He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and because you are a son and a daughter of His. Look over to Romans chapter 4 with me, please, and I'm going to have you turn to some verses. So you follow with me, please. I like folks turning pages. Romans chapter 4, if you turn with me, please. Verse 7 and 8. Romans chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Saying, blessed or happy are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed or happy is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Oh, my friends, the very first step of having, my friends, a happy new year is knowing that you're a Christian. Amen. Number two, it will be a happy new year if you are serving Him. If you are serving Him. Maybe you're still in Romans. If you are, go to chapter 12 with me, please. Romans chapter number 12. And let's look at one verse, verse number 11. Not slothful in business, fervent in the Spirit, serving Him. And I like that word fervent. It's really means hot, boiling over. Hot, boiling over. And that's what we ought to be, serving Him. I want to be faithful serving Him. I want to be found faithful as a Christian. Don't you? Amen. Faithfulness means being faithful. You know, I'm just sort of old style. Some of your old styles, well, I just happen to think that when the hinges squeak, we ought to be here. Hello? Amen. Not many amens there, Brother God. You know, there's too many half in, half out, half hot, half cold, lukewarm Christians in this world today. It's changed tremendously since I was a young preacher. And we just need to be faithful. We could have a happy new year if we, my friends, are faithfully serving Him. Turn back with me to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Look back at Psalm 100. And let's look at verse number 2. Verse number 2. Serve the Lord with, what's the next word?
Gladness.
And I'll tell you, when you're faithful, you have gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before His presence with singing. And then we do that tonight.
Amen.
And singing will put gladness and happiness in your heart and prepare your heart for the message as well. And my friends, it's so very, very important that you and I find ourselves coming into the new year serving Him faithfully. You want to have a happy new year? Be serving Him faithfully. Number three, if you will be happy in 2018, then you must be helping other people. It must be a life of helping other people. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 real quick here. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Now watch this. Who comfort us in all our tribulation. Anybody have any tribulation in 2017 here tonight? Dumb question, preacher. Of course, all of us have. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. How? By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Amen. You know, the Word of God is clearly teaching us that as we have been helped and comforted of God by in certain situations, when we see someone else having that same situation, we need to go and comfort them in that situation. Hey, I know what that's like. I've been there. Amen. It was August 1992. I've been so sick. Been to about 3 different doctors. They couldn't find out what it was. And finally, it was found out I had cancer. I had a tumor almost the size of a softball in my left kidney. And it split the top of my kidney open. I had to have surgery. I had to have my kidney removed. And the surgeon, before surgery, told my wife and I, I'm not sure how this is going to be or how this is going to go. I'd advise you to make any arrangements you need to make. I'm a little slow sometimes. But I was sure what he meant by that. So my wife and I made some preliminary arrangements, but I just trusted the Lord because I knew either way I'd be fine. I'd be all right either way. And the Lord did bring me through that. I had a lot of complications, but he brought me through that. I was pastoring at the time. And do you know how much more of a help I was to church members who had cancer after that? I was able to comfort them and help them so much more. I understood what they was going through, and I could comfort them so much more by the way God comforted and helped me. And you know, all of you have different situations and things you went through in your life, whereas God helped you, that you can use that same comfort and testimony and help others. But you got to do it. But you got to do it. You know, we need to be involved in the lives of others. It's wonderful to pray one for another. We need to do that. But we need at the same time to go to them and be a help to them, helping others. It will be a happy new year. Number four, if you overcome temptation. You know, when I was younger, I couldn't wait till I got older so it wouldn't be tempted so bad. That was my thoughts. James 1:12 says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. But look with me in James 4. There's only one way I know to endure temptation. James chapter number 4. Only one way I know to endure temptation. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. That's the very first step. I've got to submit myself to God. Oh, I've got to come to Him. Submit myself to Him. What's my next step? What's it say? The next word?
Resist.
There's got to be some resisting going on. Submit myself to God and resist what?
The devil.
Resist him. And if I'm going to resist him, I got to make sure I'm not in the places that's going to tempt me even more.
Right.
Amen? Resist the devil and what will happen? He'll flee from me. Now, you and I cannot resist the devil on our own. We need to submit ourselves. Submit ourselves, therefore, to God first.
Amen.
I'll tell you, it's a joy to overcome temptation. It's a happiness to have a victory over the devil. I'll tell you, Satan tempts us all the time, folks. He never gives up. Never gives up. It'll be a wonderful day when we're there. And he's not.
Amen.
What a day that'll be. But in this life, he's here. And you know, friends, sometimes he could just come rushing in like a flood. But my Bible tells me that our God will raise a standard up against him. And I'm convinced there's a day coming when you and I will stand in the presence of God without him. And we'll be able to shout praises to our God. Praises of joy and adoration and glory and honor forever and ever and ever.
Amen.
With the presence of him gone forever. But until then, we've got to submit ourselves to God and resist the devil, for he'll fight us on and on. And last of all, number 5, it will be a happy new year if we are looking for Jesus to come again.
Amen.
Back to my very text verse, John 17:24. Father, I will that they also that thou hast given me be with me, oh amen, where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, that's where I want to be, with him. Luke 12:37 says, blessed or happy are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And verse 14 starts out and says, who loves us and gave himself for us. But my friends, it all starts with salvation. Do every one of you know him as your personal Savior? It's not my place to doubt your salvation, but it's the preacher's place to call you to salvation. You know, Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That word all still means all. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages, the price, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, the gift of God, eternal life. It's a gift. You can't earn it. It's free to us But a huge, awful price was paid by the Lord Jesus Christ. But it must be received. Romans 10, 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
And Romans 10, 13 says, for whosoever, makes no difference who you are, makes no difference what you've done, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I encourage you, if you've never been saved or born again, trust him as your personal Savior tonight. Pastor Gruber.
Okay, no joking out there. Come on. But I just wanted to say thank you for being such a sweet family as we've come into the area as well. And Pastor's in good company because we don't know how long we've been coming either. But have enjoyed every moment of it. And just being able to join with Christian folks that love the Lord, very evident. And just holding him up and honoring and glorifying him. So thank you for that. Oh, okay. We're going to begin in Second Peter this evening. Second Peter, as well as you find your way there. I don't know. I've never used one of these before. I'm very bad with electronics.
Oh, it's up there. Look at that.
Okay. All right. Okay. I just teach first grade, so.
You have to bear with me, okay? But anyway. So, Second Peter. And I wanted to focus in on probably a message to Christians this evening, but if you find yourself wondering or saying to yourself, I don't know that I'm a Christian this evening, you have an opportunity to take these commands and principles and apply them to your life tonight, right? So let's pray before we begin. Father, we thank you for your greatness and your goodness to us every day. Thank you for the grace that you extend to each one of us because we're able to know you and love you and just honor you with our lives. And we thank you for your word as we have an opportunity to look at it this evening and just to lift up your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, I wanted to, I don't know that I have a title necessarily, but I guess if you want to call it something, call it Three Targets, all right? And in no way will I take these beautiful wreaths and make them targets, but there will be one. See if you can hit it tonight, all right? And there'll be another one here. See if you can put it right through the middle of it, all right? And right through the middle there as well. So there'll be three targets, and see if you can apply them to your heart tonight, all right? Let's begin in verse 9, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9. And it begins, but he that thinketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Those things that are being mentioned here are found back in verses 5 through 7. So let's just drop back there and look at those things. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness,
charity. And he goes on to say in verse 11, so jump back there. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. So we know those things and we try to live them every day, but when you start shooting at a target, where are you shooting for? You just want to hit it? I mean, and I won't tell you any funny stories, my wife and I, when we were first married, about trying to play tennis. And all I wanted to do was hit the ball back to me over the fence, and it would go out over the fence and across the road. And I said, come on now, just hit it right back to me, honey. And she would hit it again, and it would go out this way across the fence and over the road. And I said, you're just trying to fool with me. And she goes, no, I'm not. I said, see what you married? And I just love her immensely. But we all know that when she shoots at a target, she's not going to hit it. But she's still trying. And you've heard it said, too, that if you don't shoot at a target, you'll never hit it. Right? So when you take God's word and you try to hit the target here of these things, then at least try. Because if you don't try and let the Lord do it in your heart and your life, it's not going to happen, right? And so I just want to urge you as we look forward to another year. And by the way, I don't think that God sets it up with after December comes January. I think he just says, here you are. It's time. But, you know, we set this up for ourselves, and the next year is going to be 2018. Good. Okay. All right. And so 2018, and you have an opportunity for the year 2018 to take these things and be consumed with them. Not just, oh, yeah, I tried that once. That's not working for me. No, you need to be consumed with them. God is saying, as if it's really going to happen. I mean, it is going to happen. He's not talking to us tonight as if, maybe it will happen, maybe it won't. No, he's talking in Scripture here like it's going to take place in your life. But to what extent? Are you going to be consumed with it? Or are you just going to say, well, that's good enough for me? And so let's take a look, and I want to just talk tonight about these three targets in the context of Independent Baptist Church, all right? So at Independent Baptist Church, we must love God supremely and keep him above all else. So if you are filling in the blanks, like a good first grader would do, love God supremely. And I want you to look over at Mark chapter 12 for a moment. Mark 12. And it's been mentioned this evening about loving the Lord and being preached to us already. But I want to just share this first commandment with you once again. Remember, it's a command. And if it's a command, a principle, I mean, there it is. It's laid right out in front of us. Mark 12 and verse 29 and 30. Let's see what Jesus says in these two verses. And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And I find it interesting there that Jesus is talking and he says that the Lord our God is one Lord. I have a unique opportunity of teaching 6- and 7-year-olds. And we talk quite often about how many gods are there? One. And we all agree that there's one God. And we name him. And this is just what Jesus says here. We know that the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart And we know that our heart is up here because it's our decision maker. It's not down here pumping blood for us. No decisions take place down here. They take place right here. And it says that thou shalt love the Lord with all thy decision making in your head. And you know, the greatest battlefield that's taking place for in a Christian's mind is the same for an unsaved person, with the devil working in their mind. And that's where the battle's taking place, in here. And so, what are you going to put in there? And how much are you going to love God? Is it going to consume you this year? Or is it just going to be kind of commonplace? Because he says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Shoot for the bullseye with all of your heart. And if you look at those others that are mentioned there, he says, your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole mind, and your whole strength. Boy, I know as a teacher, boy, repetition aids learning. When I was back in college, my teachers drilled that into my head. Repetition aids learning. And I need that on a daily basis. And I love this scripture when it comes here, come to it, because it says, with your whole heart, with your whole soul, mind, and strength. Not just leaving some of it out. You know, when we color pictures at school and I give them a circle to color, some of the kids are just so excited to color that circle. And it's like, wah! And they're all over the place and they're outside the lines and half of it is colored. And I go, is this the best that you could give me? And they go, yeah. You know, and there are lots of white spaces, and I go, well, you want to go back and try that again and try your best again with that? And I think about that as far as giving God the whole thing. Let's not color in just part of it this year. Let's not just think about half of our heart while the other half is over here thinking about something else. You know, let's give him our whole heart and all of our mind and all of our strength. And I look at strength this way. You have an amount in your account and you're going to spend it. Somewhere you're going to spend it. Where are you going to spend it?
Right.
You know, in the Lord's work, serving him. And so let's go to our next one. At Independent Baptist Church, we must be driven by God's word, right? We must be driven by God's word. Let's take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3, well, that's probably a familiar verse to you, and you probably can quote it. 2 Timothy 3, 15. I really appreciate the emphasis on God's word here at Independent. Whenever we get together, whenever there's a meeting, whenever there's a Saturday men's prayer breakfast or a women's Bible study, of course it should be, but I really appreciate the emphasis on God's word. And so let's take a look there. 2 Timothy 3:15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. If you take that verse right there as a parent, and you should be encouraged to share God's word and put it into your child, because it says it will make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. What other book? What other nice little reading book can you share with a child and have them come to Christ and put their faith in him? Nothing else. This right here. And all verse 16, and all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, which is teaching, for reproof, which we probably don't like, you know, at times. But reproof means refuting. If someone's going to talk to you about something else, and I hear it all the time. And, you know, the lunch at school is all kinds of things. I always say, well, I like the verse that says, you know, and repeat that back. And I've run into trouble with a lot of people, but I like the verse that says, because Scripture is good for reproof. And it also says that it's for correction. And I don't take that as, okay, Johnny, let's sit down and I'm going to correct you. Boom, 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 with Scripture. I take it as if someone's off on how to get to heaven, then I can take God's word and correct them and show them the correct, true way as far as salvation goes. So it's good for correction, and I really appreciate your preaching here as well. All of you should give him a big hug on the way out for preaching it the way that it should be, all right, for correcting us. And it also says for instruction in righteousness, and there's the education part right there. So educate anyone that you have contact with, relationships with, right? Educate them in what is true and what is right, right? So that's target number two. Let's take a look at target number three, right? So this year, 2018, at Independent Baptist Church, we must serve others selflessly. And I won't speak at length because Wayne did a good job on that. But I would like us to look at Mark 9:35 for a moment. Mark 9:35, and Jesus called all of the disciples. It says, he sat down and called the 12, and he saith unto them, if any man desire to be first. Now, he had just hired two arguing on the road here. Who's going to be first in heaven? Who's going to sit beside Jesus in heaven? You might have heard that in your family. I don't know. I come from a family of six. And when we sat down to the dinner table, it was always, well, pass those to me first, you know, and I was number five out of six, so most of the bowls were empty when they got to me, but Jesus had just dealt, is hearing this, and he says, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all, and servant of all. And this is what I apply in my classroom as well. You've got 20 little first graders all wanting to be first. And I say, well, there's a very important person in my life that says to you, if you desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. And I just ask them, how are they going to be serving the other kids in their room? And I ask you this question, too. In 2018, how are you going to be serving someone at our church as well? And so, three targets tonight. Loving God supremely. Put him above all else this year. And loving God's word. There is no other than God's word. It's his love letter to us. And loving others. So I just repeat it again. Maybe a little more repetition aids learning. All right. So love God. Love God's word. And love others this coming year in 2018. All right. Hit a bullseye.